Hello, I'm Koshka Kalishnikov, and tonight I will be sharing facts about the brain for Nerdgasm. By the way, I am drinking vodka with Fresca because it's delicious and it's like 100 fucking degrees outside. I'm a little bit tipsy because I've already had one wine glass, but it should be fine. It's good. It's vodka. I mean, how much can it do? Also, because this is a Nerdgasm, I have my vibrator jammed in my panties, and it's really fucking good. Oh no, here it comes. So, throughout this, I will obviously be getting turned on, and I might have to pause my presentation to come, but... Y'all don't care, because why would you click on this audio if you didn't want to listen to me come? Okay, let's get started, huh? All right, well, 1 second. I'm going to drink some of my drink, because I'm a little bit nervous. Oh my god, I love vodka. All right, so... Let's get started. If I was cool and I actually put a lot of resources into my audios, I would probably play like some cool intro music right now, but I'm poor and I am still learning my kalimba, so for right now, you'll just have to make do with me rambling. So, okay. I wrote down some notes because Tipsy Koshka is not good at being on the fly, and I figured if this crashes and burns, well, we'll just have to get through it. So I made some tips. Just tips. Okay, so the brain, the human brain, it's composed of three major areas called the cerebrum, the cerebellum, and the brainstem, and it sits in the skull cavity. In the brain, and like obviously in the head, in the brain. What am I talking about? In the head. And it is responsible for your body's regulation of everything, of muscle movement, of heart rate, of perception, your place in the universe. I'm sorry. Oh, my vibrator is just so great. Why didn't I wear this in college? Oh, fuck. This is fun. You know what? I'm going to do this now whenever I do, like, a presentation. I'm just going to slip my vibrator in my panties. Okay. All right. Back to business. Okay. So, the cerebellum... No, that's not the right one. The cerebrum. The cerebrum is composed of the left and the right hemispheres and contains the greatest structure known to the universe, in my opinion, and that is the corpus callosum. The hemispheres are made distinct from one another by a long groove called the medial longitudinal fissure, and that, whenever you see like a brain in a mold or just like a drawing, it's that really long groove between them that separates the left from the right. Sip for vodka. Okay, so you've got the left and the right hemisphere, and if you're imagining this here in your head, what you're using is your fusiform gyrus, which is also a very important structure in the brain, and that allows you to recall things in your mind's eye. So, shout out to the fusiform gyrus for doing its job. Okay, so blah, 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 medial longitudinal fissure. On a large scale, the two hemispheres are nearly identical, but on a microscopic and functional level, there are some differences. Ooh, what could those be? Anyway, back to the corpus callosum for now. It is a thick band of nerve fibers, which allow the hemispheres to work together. Oh, you know what? This setting on my vibrator is just not enough. Let's amp it up, yeah? Woo! Okay. Oh, that's so much better. Okay. All right. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. I had forgotten how much I love this toy. Okay. All right. So, corpus callosum is a thick band of nerve fibers which allow the hemispheres to work together. So when you raise your left hand, or when you jack yourself with your left hand like I do, you're using the right hemisphere to do it. And that is because information is passed to the other hemisphere for interpretation and then sorted to the respective area of the brain that governs that function. Oh, so the reason you're able to do that is because you have a functioning corpus callosum. Oh, fuck. Oh, pause to come. Oh, fuck. Okay. All right. Okay. Oh. Wow, that was nice. How far are we? Oh my god. Almost 6.5 minutes. Oh man. Okay. All right. Okay, this is just gonna be a lot of drinking and laughing and some brain stuff and then, you know, here and there. All right. No, focus, Kosichka, focus. Come on. Okay, so scientists studied the corpus callosum in depth in the later half of the 20th century, which, for all you people that don't want to do math, is the 1950s to the, well, now, actually. But it really ramped up. Psychology in of itself and neuroscience ramped up, like, in the 50s, 60s, 70s. Which is crazy because it's so young compared to other specialties like cardiology and nephrology and all that stuff. All the ologies. But psychology and study of the brain and functionality and behavior of humans really got started in like the 60s with a bunch of child development and Freud. Like Freud and Jung were from the 20s and 30s, I think. I'm rusty with them. But for the most part, psychology didn't really take effect and didn't really get the funding and respect that it deserves until about the 1960s. But that is for another audio. So, back to brains. So, corpus callosum got studied in the later half of the 20th century. Oh, by studying patients with corpus callostomy, which is not the same as a colostomy. Like, a colostomy, for example, is where your intestine becomes damaged in some way, and so you have to have it rerouted to a port in the front of your abdomen. And most of the time you have like an ostomy bag, which means instead of excreting material through your anus, you actually put it into a bag. And a lot of people, here's a side tip that's kind of sad. A lot of people end up taking their own life if they have to have that for a long time because they psychologically cannot get over that. But in this particular thing, a corpus callostomy is where the corpus callosum is severed. So it is either damaged or cut on purpose, where the brain hemispheres cannot function with each other. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Sorry. I moved my thighs a little bit and my vibrator, like, oof, hit my button right. Well, oof, right. Right on the mark. Oh. I don't even know what this is. I feel like it's only going to get maybe like 10 plays. Anyway, okay, so by studying patients with this disorder, not disorder, affliction, with this affliction, well, for the layman's terms, it's called a split brain. And it's usually a last resort in humans with epilepsy. And the thought behind it is because by severing the corpus callosum, Oh, you stop a seizure from going from one hemisphere to the other. So you sort of cut it out. Not cut it out, you cut it off. I can't even think. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, okay, I'm gonna try really hard not to come. Okay. So, when the split-brain patients were shown an object, like a flower, to only their left eye, because their right eye was covered, the patient couldn't name the object, because the data could not be processed into the right hemisphere and then thrown back to the left, where our language processing is. Oh, fuck. Go straight into the lobes and what they do. For example, the frontal lobe. The frontal lobe is for personality and behavior and emotions. Oh, fuck. It's also for body movement. Oh, and speaking and writing. Oh, fuck. And self-awareness. Oh. Damage to the frontal lobe can cause odd behaviors, like, what was that guy's name? Gage? Something Gage? Maybe? I don't know. I think it's Gage something. He was alive, like, in the early 1900s, and he used to, he would lay railroad spikes for the railroad, and one day there was, like, an explosion, I think, and somehow a railroad spike went through his frontal lobe, and he survived it, but... apparently before the accident, he was just a very kind, gentle person. And afterwards, he was mean and angry and volatile. And it is because it damaged his frontal lobe. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Soaked from my thighs to my ass. Okay, all right. Oh, fuck. Okay. So frontal lobe damage. Okay, so Gage has just his behavior completely. Oh god, that sounded weird. His behavior completely changed after the railroad tie accident, and strangely enough, this is how frontal lobotomies came about. Pause for vodka. And lobotomies, really, it didn't take place until, like, majorly came in style, I guess, until the 50s to the 60s. So, the reason people would get lobotomies, which is real fucking shitty, because it was mostly women and people with behavior issues, the reason... people did lobotomies, or, like, families would consent to doing it, is because they thought it would chill and mellow people out, and a lot of times it had horrible side effects, including seizures, hallucinations, loss of motor function, impairments of all kind. Probably the most famous case of a bad lobotomy is Rosemary Kennedy, who was a woman who just sort of knew her own mind and was eccentric and didn't really fit into the vision of the Kennedy family. So they had her have a lobotomy, and she became mentally disabled as a result and lived the rest of her life with special care as a special needs person. And it was just horrific because it was unnecessary. So anyway, that is a bad topic. I don't know why I brought that up, to be honest. This is supposed to be a lighthearted audio. And here I am talking about brain disorders. Okay. So, vodka. Okay. So, next lobe is the parietal. I think it's, yeah, parietal lobe. And that houses language and words, touch, pain, temperature. It signals, it interprets signals from vision and hearing. So it's a lot of our sensory and perception from our outside environment using our senses. The occipital lobe interprets vision, so like color, light, movement, that kind of stuff. And then the temporal lobe is understanding language. So where the parietal lobe interprets the language, the temporal lobe is where you start to understand it. This is also where Wernicke's, no, there's no R in Wernicke, Wernicke, I think it's Wernicke, I don't know, Wernicke's area also, that's where Wernicke's aphasia comes from, which I will also talk about because I have a bullet point about it. But in the temporal lobe, there's also memory, hearing, and sequencing and organization. So, fuck. Okay. So the Broca's area, it's in the left frontal lobe. So if you think of your forehead, to the left of the center of your forehead, that is where the Broca's area is. And if that area is damaged, either self-inflicted or upon birth or because of an accident, one may have difficulty moving their tongue or facial muscles to produce sounds of speech. Now, this kind of affliction, oh fuck, I can't focus on my vagina because because I'll just give in. Okay, notes, save me. Okay, so the person that has damage in the Broca's area can still read and understand spoken language, but has difficulty in speaking and writing. So they cannot recall words correctly or write words correctly, but they can understand it. Which, funny enough, is me with French. Because I can read it very well, but I'm not very good at sentence composure. Okay. So anyway, when you are able to read and understand a language, but you cannot speak or write it, that is called Broca's aphasia. And now, Wernicke's aphasia is in the left temporal lobe, and damage to that area means that an individual can speak in long sentences that have no real meaning, which means they just ramble on and on. They have unnecessary words and they can create new words thinking they are legitimate words, but they are not. They can make speech sounds, however, they have difficulty understanding speech and therefore are unaware of their mistake. This can sometimes happen when you give someone a hairbrush and you ask them what they use it for. They won't have any idea, but they can probably use it like telling you that it has a function of some kind, but they don't ever really get around to the actual function. And this is called Wernicke's aphasia. Oh, fuck. So that is the cerebrum. And the cerebrum is a great area of the brain. More research should be done in that area. Fuck. Oh, fuck. This setting is just enough to keep me on edge, but it's not enough. Oh, fuck, to make me come. I think I'm getting used to it. Either that or my clit is going numb. Okay. All right, we just have a few more areas to go. So now we're going to talk about the cerebellum. And the cerebellum can be divided by function, because there are three functional areas of the cerebellum. The cerebrocerebellum, the spinocerebellum, and the vestibulocerebellum. The cerebrocerebellum is the largest division, and it's formed by the lateral hemispheres. It's involved in planning movements and motor learning. Oh, fuck. And it receives and sends outputs of information to other areas of the brain. Oh, fuck. This area also regulates coordination and muscle activation. And is important in visually guided movements. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. The spinocerebellum is comprised of the vermis and the intermediate zone of the cerebellar hemispheres. It is involved in regulating body movements and allowing for error correction. Oh, fuck. And the vestibulocerebellum is a functional equivalent of another lobe that I cannot begin to pronounce at this very moment. It is involved in controlling balance and ocular reflexes. It receives inputs from the vestibular system and sends outputs back to the vestibular nuclei. Oh, fuck, I'm gonna come. Now for the brainstem, which has the second best structure in the universe. The brainstem is the distal part of the brain that is made up of the midbrain, the pons, and the beautiful, gorgeous, one-of-a-kind medulla oblongata. Each of the three components has its own unique structure and function, and together they regulate breathing and heart rate, blood pressure, and other important functions. Oh, vodka, I love you. I love you so much. Sponsor me. Sponsor me, Smirnoff. Or Svedka. Svedka is probably my favorite. Sorry, Smirnoff, but you're the cheap stuff. So, the medulla oblongata. So, in addition to being incredibly amazing, that also helps regulate breathing, heart rate, blood vessel function, digestion, sneezing, and swallowing. So, when I sip my vodka, I am using my medulla oblongata to swallow. It also helped me get through college. If you have been turned on by this audio at any point, you can thank your medulla oblongata. The saliva swallow, the catch of your breath, the lip lick, your increased heart rate, your blood flow to your sex organs, all because of this tiny little structure at the back of the brain. It's magical, isn't it? Oh, fuck, I love neuroscience. The brain is amazing. It's the black box of a human being, of any individual, really. It's got so many important functions, and oh, it's just sexy. Oh, it's sexy because you can turn someone on with it. Like, yeah, you can have a gorgeous body, you can have a great income and all that junk, but the brain is where it's fucking at. Ugh. I love the brain so much. It's amazing. And it's beautiful. And it's really fun to hold in your hands if you are in the medical field and have the chance. But Here's a fun fact about the brain. You can't really hold it for a very long time because your fingers will create indentations on it because it's so gelatinous and malleable. That is why when they do brain surgery, they cut the skull cap off. So obviously the bone that houses the brain, they cut part of that off, remove it, and they have the patient just under local anesthesia for some of the surgery. I'm not a brain surgeon, so I can't confirm that 100%, but they are awake sometimes for their surgeries, because if you damage a part of the brain, your patient will know and probably respond to you right away. Also, the brain cannot feel pain. It doesn't have a receptor. What it does feel is if there's like blood or pressure on the brain itself, but if you were to like stab it in surgery, the person would not feel pain. So, for example, if you have like brain cancer, the only time you would feel pain in that instance is when a blood vessel will rupture, causing an aneurysm. That's what a brain aneurysm is. It's a blood on the brain. And that is what will cause pain, is because there's pressure on it, not because the nerves themselves are getting damaged. They just have pressure, which I guess would mean they're damaged. I don't know. That's a really good question, and I'm really drunk, and this audio is really long. So, should we come one last time? Maybe? Oh, let's click up our intensity, yeah? Ooh, that sounds fun. Oh, fuck, and it is fun. Oh, thank you for listening to my nerdgasm. Oh, I hope it didn't bore you too much. Oh, fuck. Pause for vodka. Swallow, thanks to the medulla oblongata. And thank you to all who listened to this clusterfuck of an audio. Please don't leave me. Don't leave me, followers. I promise they're not all gonna be this shitty. Thanks for listening. Take care of your brain. Eat a lot of healthy, nutritious food. Get your sleep daily. And don't fucking stress about shit you can't control. Happy quarantine. Drink your vodka. Svedka, sponsor me. Okay, bye.